League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Welcome to an edition of the Ruthless Aggression podcast that has all three of us in different locations. And for once, I'm the one who's on the West Coast by myself. I'm Chris, joined, of course, by Pierce and Rob. Rob is out in St. Louis. Pierce, of course, is in Philadelphia now. So I'm up bright and early. It's 9 o'clock in the morning. I'm here in Seattle, where Oregon beat Washington yesterday, 26-16, pretty hilarious fashion. So that was cool. Guys, how are you guys doing over on your end?
I'm doing well, man. You know, we changed the clocks, so time's a little off today, but, you know, so far, so good. It's going to be weird enjoy, when it's dark at 5 o'clock, but, you know.
Did you enjoy – they only did Dynamite there, or there were Rampage there? They didn't
– Yeah, it was just Rampage, and they did Dark before. Yeah, no, it was a blast. I had a good time. You know, the Punk and Kingston stuff was good. It was nice to see.
Maybe if it's tonight or next week.
The next Saturday.
Okay. Now it makes sense. Cause I'm like, why didn't they just do?
Yeah. Well, cause it was going to be Rampage and Full Gear. And then they didn't want to go up against Canelo and the UFC fight last night. So they moved.
Don't they do Sunday though?
It depends. Like for the Memorial Day and Labor Day weekend, they usually do. But for, you know, just regular weekends, like your Revolution and Full Gear, I think Revolution was on Sunday too.
Yeah. Revolution was on Saturday too. Or Sunday.
Yeah. Yeah, they've done Sundays for a while now.
Yeah.
So I actually know, Chris, you have gone to AEW. So I think you guys are the only ones who have been to AEW shows. I haven't. What's your assessment of All Elite Wrestling?
You know, honestly, like from what you would gather from like how some of the fans are on Twitter, you would think it would be like this over the top, like, you know, they're just gonna do the worst of the worst that the NXT crowd used to do, but really it's not any different than like any sort of other wrestling show I've been to, you know, just a lot of people happy to be there, and you know, they're active and it was fun. I mean, I had a good time.
Yeah, I mean, when I was a Grand Slam, it was a fun time. You know, there was obviously a lot more people there than there's been for a lot of the shows that they've ever run.
Probably a much different crowd too, seeing that.
Yeah,
not only is very New much York so. Versus St. Louis. It's that was a big
they definitely
show.
Yeah, they definitely didn't like do anything somewhat obnoxious, I would say. It was a pretty it was pretty tame at that point. I think the loudest like boos that anyone got, of course, were Cody. But that's because Cody sucks. So,
yeah. It feels like the perception isn't meeting the the perception isn't meeting what you get. You know, from what I'm gathering from the two of you.
Yeah, pretty much. Like I said, you know, if you think like, oh, I don't want to go to one of their shows because their fans are annoying or whatever, it's not really like that.
Okay, it's always good to have good wrestling fans.
Yeah,
yeah, and I mean that kind of just brings to the point that like Twitter is not real life, because if it was, then like Alexa Bliss wouldn't be one of the top merch sellers and extremely popular wrestler like she is.
Yeah. Well, and also just, you know, going off of that real quick, and just like since WWE's come back, you can kind of see it on TV, but the shows I've been to for them too, you don't have the fans
yes.
that would like, you know, chant stuff that they shouldn't be chanting or whatever. So yeah, I think everyone's just kind of happy to be back and able to go to shows and stuff again.
Yeah, we're going to speed through our rundown because we do have a couple weeks of shows to get to, including the 2005 edition of Taboo Tuesday, the final edition of Taboo Tuesday before it came Cyber Sunday. I believe next week is when we get real and we get sad and we talk about the
yes.
Eddie Guerrero. So we're going to try to keep this week as upbeat as we possibly can. I say as we possibly can, because we got to start off talking about people losing their jobs. And that's never fun. Another round of cuts for WWE. I guess we can just go through some of the biggest names off the rip. And the biggest name off the top of my head is Keith Lee. Now, shout out to JR Bang, first black champ. He predicted that Keith Lee wouldn't be in WWE going into 2022. And he was right. Keith Lee is now a free agent. But as much as we've gotten, oh, WWE dropped the ball on Keith Lee, which debatable at certain points. You know, we talk about, you know, how, where he's gone, his health, all that stuff. It's debatable. But I think of anybody that was let go this week, we can all agree that Keith Lee is going to be fine.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, he's a guy that, you know, if he wants to go work for AEW, they'll have him. If he wants to go work, you know, anywhere, they'll have him. You know, not everyone that got released is going to have that sort of privilege like he's going to have, where, you know, he's a still big attraction. And, you know, and yeah, I mean, as far as like, did they misuse him? Maybe to an extent. I think they used him right in NXT, like up until he won the title. And then from there to now, you can have kind of a different argument. But, you know, it's a bummer. You know, you don't want to see anyone get released, but hopefully things work out for the best.
Yeah, I mean, that's really all you can say and hope for, is that people will land on their feet and that, you know, people will, you know, get through it. And I think that by and large, that does happen with wrestlers a lot. So if, you know, you want to look on the bright side of things in that perspective, these wrestlers typically do find homes pretty easily and pretty quickly. Even with non-competes being taken into account. So I think in that, from that perspective, I think that everyone, you know, who was cut will most likely find a home, if not like right away. I know I saw some people already were taking bookings. That's obviously a good thing. And, you know, I think among anybody that I feel like the worst for, I think right now, just for, you know, circumstances that abruptly came about for her too, which I think is shit. Katrina Cortez, who was told that her work visa was expired. So she has to, you know, gather up, you know, support from that regard. And I hope that she does, because obviously that's a very crappy situation that deals with plenty of other political factors that are always at play with the immigration policy going on.
Yeah. So. If you're a wrestling fan and you're upset about these cuts and these cuts piss you off, I hope you're doing whatever you can to help Katrina Cortez stay in America, because that's the person that you need to be upset for. The person who now, I think she was talking about, she was 19.
Yeah.
When she came over from Chile. And, you know, to follow her dream. And she's still, you know, very, very young and now has to figure out her future and, you know, leaving this country she doesn't know to go back home. And God knows what's awaiting her back home. Obviously, we don't know. So, you know, it is what it is. But, you know, you're upset about Keith Lee, or you're upset about, you know, is anybody upset about Nia Jax? You're upset about whoever. And Mia Yim, B-Fab, like, I get you. I 100% get you. But a lot of those folks are going to be fine, and even more so on a personal level, because they're here, not going anywhere. They don't have to go back home to, you know, God knows what. You know, people like Katrina Cortez does. Wasn't it Drake Maverick when Drake got cut initially in his visa? I feel like it was somebody from the UK who, you know, all of a sudden and visa issues crept up once he got cut and he had to, you know, try to figure out how to stay here, or go back home. I'm not sure if it was Drake Maverick or not. It was somebody, but it was a while ago, so I can't remember off the top of my head. But like, yo, these things happen, and that is the ugly side of it. That's the sad side of it.
Yeah. Yeah. I think Billy Kay had some visa issues after getting cut.
That's right. Yeah. Billy.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, that's really the part that is very intimidating, you know, because if you come here and, you know, you give everything up and then you got to go, you know, you think you have a steady job and then you don't, it's rough, man.
Yeah, I can't even like imagine, but I can obviously empathize. So
One person who we absolutely do not emphasize for their release is Karrion Kross. feel really bad for Scarlett because she didn't get opportunity to be on the main roster to show that she's amazing. And she's just dope, period. But yeah, everyone knew from the second that Adam Cole eviscerated that man on NXT television that he wasn't for long within the WWE. I didn't think it'd be this quick, but we all knew that man wasn't going to be long for WWE. And yeah, he's going to be able to go back to being Killer Kross on the indies and doing who cares what.
Keep it real. Yeah, I mean, and he's a guy that he's, I don't know that he's going to have too much.
No, he's not going to have any. That man is not going to have any trouble finding a job after, because he's got everybody and their brother in on him right now.
Yeah, I don't know that AEW is going to be interested in him, but
I don't think so either.
Nah, he's going to be great for Impact.
Yeah,
he sounds like a perfect. Wasn't he on Impact already?
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. the problem with Impact though is that I think that there was something with him and Callis and Scarlett as well.
Yeah, but he's gone now.
That's true. Callis is gone, so that's
straight up AEW now. So
yeah, that is true.
Look at that, man. The only person to benefit from that whole partnership was Don Callis. Got himself a job, Nate. That's wild. But yeah, you know, Kross is not really not going to be missed in the Federation. The writing was on the wall months ago. And for him, I think the shocking thing is it just happened so quickly. Ember Moon's gone. And, you know, tough hand because she wasn't able to get off the ground in the main roster. But yeah, she's another one of those people that, like, you put her in the AEW women's division and she possesses so much more value there than she did in WWE.
Yeah, no, I think she'd be a great get for them. You know, she never really seemed to find a place in WWE, and you know, that happens sometimes. I do want to go back to Nia real quick though, because, you know, it did come out that,
please. Yes,
because it did come out that, you know, she was on a mental health break and she asked for an extension, then they cut her. And I don't know, like, if that's the case, then yeah, that's not cool. But there's also this other report that, you know, up to half of the people they released were because of their vaccination status. And we know that she's not vaccinated. So it's like, you know,
I thought it was four, because I was going to name the four.
Yeah.
It's half of them.
Up to eight, but it was five for sure. I thought
it was at least, because they said at least five. And I mean, you know, you can figure, you can read between the lines for some of these people.
Kross, Eva, most likely Nia, 100%.
Harry Smith as well, because he's a big Trumper. Maybe Scarlett, I suppose, if we combine her with Kross.
Wouldn't be shocked if Ember is unvaccinated too.
Well, because for me, honestly, like, the NXT releases seemed like they were kind of, I don't want to say business as usual, but like the cuts that, you know, the NXT roster's been making.
Right. Oni Lorcan as an old NXTer, you know.
Yeah.
It's weird to say, but.
Yeah, and I feel like the main roster releases, you know, some of them were pretty obvious in the sense that they were unvaccinated. Some of them were just, you know, a bit puzzling, as some are always. But yeah, I think with regards to people who are unvaccinated and them losing their jobs, I don't really empathize. I mean, that's their problem. And the Fightful report made it seem like they were openly unvaccinated, which I think makes the situation worse. Because if you're openly about doing that, like, you're just being selfish and you're just putting other people at risk constantly, considering that you're always touring and you're always flying around, you're in front of people all the time, kids, people in the locker room who are immunocompromised and whatnot. Like, there's so many factors, especially with something like wrestling that's always physical and in your face. And they're never, I mean, during the shows, obviously, they're never wearing masks or anything like that. So it's not even like pro sports in that regard. So it's just like you're just being a dick. So I don't really, and I know the Nia thing, like, yeah, maybe that's the case, but also she never mentioned that she wasn't unvaccinated or denied the report in her post. And it's just like, I'm not quick to forget that she was hanging around and posting and promoting Drake Works' stuff either.
Yeah.
So it's like all these people, you know, trying to suddenly rally behind Nia Jax. It's like your mind's that quick to forget all that stuff because all that happened. I remember it in real time. So and Nia, it's also just like, you know, just from pure wrestling stuff, like they maxed her out. So it's like, I don't know what they were supposed to do considering they always kept her on Raw too. So it's not like, you know, she was ever floated over to SmackDown. She never was. She's been on Raw since the beginning.
And to be honest with you, like, I think much like Braun Strowman, it wouldn't surprise me to see her back at some point.
Yeah, no, maybe, yeah, but... sure. I think because Nia doesn't fit to me anywhere else.
Yeah.
So if she was going to continue on with this, and I mean, like, oh, she can just call up because and start doing movies again. But I think she's, you know, she'll be back eventually. You know, hey, it is what it is. I don't feel sad for her because of everything that she's been about for the last couple years and defiantly been about.
Yep.
It, you know, it sucks that she was on a mental health break, and it's kind of like the Ben Simmons thing. You know, like I've been in Philly for a month, so I've gotten to witness firsthand the saga, and not just how fans have treated him, which, like, not gonna lie, some of the shit I hear from fans out here is very shut up and playish. But Ben hasn't carried himself the right way either. And it's not like Nia's carrying herself the right way either. And this is also, and actually, Ben's unvaccinated too.
Yeah.
Somebody knew. So that's another layer, another tether there between him and Nia. You know, Nia kind of has to, she got to get over her shit, man. Nobody's going to throw you some sympathy simply because you were on a mental health break. If you're not taking care of your job and taking care of others, nobody's going to give a fuck. You know, just truth be told. I hope she's doing well. I hope she's getting better. But, yo, them the breaks. I lost the fucking cut list that I had. Frankie Monet, it sucks because I really wanted to see what she was going to be able to do.
Yeah.
God, I'm losing people. I'm losing recipes. there was one cut that happened. And it's unfortunate because I really do think that this man is a good worker. The writing was on the wall because they don't use him a lot. He was mainly in, you know, 24/7, you know, slot. But it was very unfortunate to see Lince Dorado got cut. And Graham and Aleek. I feel bad for Graham and Aleek too, because Graham and Aleek can work. Both of them niggas can work.
Yeah.
But you know, there was one person that was like, yeah, I'm going to take this opportunity to crack wives on someone losing their job. And it's not like it's anybody on Twitter, right? Not saying that absolves them from doing it. Like, yeah, cool. You know, you're a Twitter person. Go talk shit about somebody losing their job. It's different when you are in the business and people know who you are and you have been a frequent visitor of NXT events, PC events, wrestling events in Orlando. Izzy's dad, I don't even know your fucking name, but way to sabotage your daughter's wrestling future, my son, thinking that you were going to be funny and crack wise. But what you did not know is that you thought Lince Dorado was the one. He went down the list of folks that got cut. Saw Keith Lee? Nah, man, too big. Saw B-Fab? Nah, she might slap me in the fucking face. Oney Lorcan? Yeah, he might choke me out. Karrion Kross? He big as shit. I'm again at Lince Dorado. He ain't gonna know it's coming. Nah, it's cool. You know, we skin folk. We good. Nah, fam. because you chose the one person on that roster that had smoke and that had time, and you didn't show up. You thought you were gonna post that little notes app apology and it was all gonna be good. Nah, fam. Lince had time yesterday.
Yeah. And the funniest part of all that was, you know, the thing he was like inviting him to and left him a parking pass for, it was like a jujitsu tournament that Lince won.
Yeah.
And then was going to kick this dude's ass after he won the tournament.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
King him.
Oh, man.
Whoever signs him better give him that gimmick.
Yes. And I think
real quick, fantasy question. James Robinson's out. Khalil Herbert or Christian McCaffrey?
Probably McCaffrey, man. That Bears Steelers game's gonna be bad.
He
just got back though. Fuck, I have Chuba too. God damn it. Okay, whatever. I have to start Khalil Herbert. Anyway, sorry, go ahead.
Well, I think there's two big points here. First one, you know, don't talk shit to people that just lost their job. Especially if you're just some fucking random dork. And the second one, from Lindsay's perspective, we need to normalize not accepting people's apologies.
Yeah.
Because way too often, you know, people apologize and you're supposed to accept. And if you don't, then, you know, that's on you. But, you know, no one has to accept your apology.
No, you definitely don't.
Especially one that's especially one that's very half-hearted and notes appy, like, nah, if you really mean it, you know where to find me, you know how to reach out. Yeah. You know, and exactly. I think his point was like, yo, I want my kids to know that if someone wrongs you, they better look you dead in the eye and either apologize or talk that talk. And if you can't do any of that, you know, what does it say about them?
And you know what the thing is, like, if he showed up, I don't think Lindsay was gonna actually like beat the shit out of him, but just to not even show up, man, that's weak.
Yeah,
he probably would have confronted him, and I think that the dude would have probably folded like a cheap suit and melted. Because it's obvious he has no balls. And I mean, just speaking from, you know, being embedded in certain places and just seeing a lot of the shit that goes on, I think this for that dude, it's a long time coming. Because he's always acted out in inappropriate fashion. I mean, we've heard the stuff about MSK that got confirmed. It's obvious that, you know, they're chasing clout or whatever off of what happened on TV in NXT several years ago. And, you know, I feel the only person I really feel bad for is Izzy, because she's just a kid. And it's not like, you know, she has the capacity to understand what's happening in front of her. And I hope that, you know, everything turns out okay with her.
You mean she doesn't have the capacity to understand her dad's a dork? Yeah, I think she probably knows that.
It's possible. That is true. I mean, it's not to completely absolve anything, but it's like, you know, she is a kid, but she should obviously know better. And so should that whole family, really. That whole family is obviously very entitled. Obviously, you know, like I said, they chased and tried to claw up all that clout that they got several years ago, and they've used it in their favor for entitlement and whatnot. And that's a problem. And eventually, problems do get dealt with. And it seems like in this case, it finally got dealt with, and hopefully they, the parents, just, you know, and especially the dork who, you know, tried to at somebody and mock them for losing their job, just goes away into infamy, basically.
Pray to God. There were plenty of other cuts. We won't get into them, but we wish everyone the best. Whether that's a possible comeback to WWE in the future, whether that's AEW, whether that's on the Indies, Impact. Unfortunately, they won't be in ROH. Doesn't shock me, because them niggas didn't want to pay me. Even if they, you know, leave the wrestling business altogether, you know, we wish the best for everybody. This is, you know, definitely a pro wrestling crowd here. And like, yo, you know, we understand the business. We understand the things that come with it. We just hope that performers are able to perform at their best, and they're able to get compensated well for it. That's, you know, really all we hope for. And yeah, I don't know if there's anything else modern day. Kyle O'Reilly's contract, well, we got some time to talk about that.
Do you see him staying or not?
I mean, personally, I would be surprised, just because you know, there doesn't really seem to be a fit for him in this version of NXT, as shown by, you know, he's hanging out with Von Wagner or whatever.
Well, I meant, like, is he going to go up? But
no, well, that's the other thing. Like, you know, I guess him and Gargano had a dark match or whatever before SmackDown to kind of, you know, I guess show what they can do. I don't really see a fit for Kyle on the main roster. And if he was there, I don't know that he'd be as good as
she. I could see a fit. I could see a fit. Put him in a tag with, you could put him with Alpha Academy. He'd fit there.
I like that. I like that a lot.
You could do something with him and Cesaro if you put him on SmackDown, if that's what you want to do.
That's fair. I mean, I think
since Cesaro is always in a fucking tag team.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, they're two of the best tag guys of this entire era. So, shit.
Well, I mean, I think something that it comes down to too is, you know, if he wants to do that, or if he wants to go, you know, he can go probably reform his team with Bobby Fish. Well, I don't actually know about that, if Bobby Fish is going to be in AEW for too much longer. But you know, Cole's over there. You know, he's going to have friends in both places, and we'll just have to wait and see what he does, I guess. I mean, it's like this common thing online to just think that everyone's leaving at this point, but
yeah,
I don't know.
I just cut Allen Robinson off my fantasy team.
Well, he's kind of bad, so.
It's just painful, man. It's so painful. All right, we have, oh my God, Cynthia Freeland. Fine, but you think the Panthers are going to be the Patriots. Crazy. We got a couple weeks of wrestling to get through in the year 2005. We have a Raw, and then we have a pay-per-view, and then we have a SmackDown, and then we're going to do the whole thing next week. So what we got?
Yeah, get into it here.
We also got a very horrible baseball thing to talk about, unfortunately.
Yes. Yes, that is correct. So top five songs in America this week in 2005. Shake It Off dropped to number five for being at number three. That by Mariah Carey, of course. My Humps stayed at four. Photograph by Nickelback dropped to number three.
Nickelback's from Jersey? Nickelback's from Jersey? I thought they were from Canada.
Oh, yeah. No, they're from Canada. I may have misspoke there. My bad. Because I said they dropped to three from number two.
I thought you said something about your home state. I'm sorry.
Oh, no. Okay. Run It by Chris Brown jumped from number eight to number two.
Banger!
And number one is still Gold Digger by Kanye and Jamie Foxx, of course. It has been on the chart now for 14 weeks, and it, of course, has been number one for quite some time now.
Top five movies in America. Hold on. I'm not gonna hold you if you hate Chris Brown. Like, completely understand it. Like, there's a lot of hateable things about Chris Brown. When Run It came out, R&B was saved. R&B was saved. That whole first album was a banger.
That was a very popular MySpace song.
It was MySpace days.
All right. Top five movies in America this week. The Fog dropped from number one but stayed at number five, 7.9 million. Debuting at number four was North Country, which made 8.5 million. Number three, Wallace and Gromit, Curse of the Were-Rabbit, went from number two to number three. It made $10 million this week. Debuting at number two was Dreamer, which made $11.2 million. And debuting at number one was Doom, which made $18.8 million.
Now, who went to go see this movie first week?
I did not.
I never seen it.
That's good. I'm so happy for you, Rob. Never, ever waste your time. Never waste your time. This was just, I don't even know if bad covers it. It's atrocious. It's a crime against motion pictures. It's a crime against the Doom video game franchise. I don't think I've ever cared to pick up a Doom game since this movie came out. And I loved Doom when I was a kid. Like, Doom was the shit when I was a kid. This just killed all those vibes. And at least Rock, like, recognizes how bad it was.
Yeah.
Like, the classic line from the Hall of Fame, when you look the scene and you talk about the Marine, was like, hey, I made Doom. Foreshadowing, John, you're going to make a lot of shit movies in your life. Stick with it.
Oh, man. All right, let's see. So do some news about, you know, kind of how things are going in terms of Taboo Tuesday build. You know, it doesn't seem like the Austin and Coachman stuff's a good idea. Well, you know, it's not going to end up happening. You know, the Foley stuff seems kind of rushed and not like a great idea. Show was clearly rewritten all week. It was billed as a show where all four McMahons would be together for the first time. This is Raw for last week, by the way, which it was not.
It's crazy how they've done a much better job in building SummerSlam than they have Taboo Tuesday.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, yeah, things aren't really going great for Raw right now. But first, we have Monday Night Football.
We do. The Falcons, who at this point are 5-2 after beating the New York Jets 27-14. They scored 17 points off of three fumbles by Vinny Testaverde in the first 17 minutes of the game and easily beat the Jets, who were very injury-plagued at this point in time.
Also, make the playoffs in 05?
No, they did not. They would eventually fall, I believe, to – they were like 8-8 or something this year. So they have a – yeah, they were 8-8. So they totally collapsed at the end of the season.
Yeah, I remember game when they let Rex Grossman beat them on Sunday night. That's about it.
Yep. Yeah, they that was actually on my birthday, believe it or not.
Down on your birthday.
Yeah, because they were 6-2 after they beat the Dolphins in week 9, and then they just completely fell apart at the end.
Like the Ravens. This was Jim Mora's second
year. Second year. So, yep.
Yeah,
second
they lasted year. Three. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
UCLA's waiting, buddy.
Yep, sure is. Also, two things happened on this Monday. Mike Martz will miss the remainder of the 2005 season after he's with a heart valve disease that he suffered earlier this month. And he
missed the remainder of his coaching career.
And Amon Green was lost for the season after he broke his leg.
Well, that's not good.
Was not
bad news for Nebraska all around. Dude.
Yeah, that was a 1-2 punch for the Packers because they lost 23-20 to the Vikings the previous day because Paul Ehlinger hit a 56-yarder with no time on the clock.
My guy, Paul Ehlinger. I had no clue this would be your last year, but you know what? It was for a good cause, buddy. Thank you for your years of service.
All right, so let's get into Raw, October 24th. Fresno, California, which of course hosted the Royal Rumble earlier this year.
Yes.
Fresno, shout out to Clovis.
Yes. Getting right into it here. Shawn Michaels against Big Show against Kane. Well, one of these guys will be the third man in the triple threat at Taboo Tuesday.
Third man.
We don't usually get right into it on Raw, but I'm a big fan. You know, they don't really do a lot of the triple threat action, of course. It just becomes a couple different, like, singles matches. But, you know, Big Show hit a superplex on Kane. They didn't break the ring. Kane hit Big Show with a chair behind the referee's back, and they kind of made a big deal about it, even though it's no DQ match. But they were weird about that for a while, though. So I get it. Sean comes in, hits Sweet Chip Music on both, and pins Big Show for the victory.
Well, there you go.
Coach and King plug Taboo Tuesday. King gets on the mic and asks who thinks Coach is doing a good job, and everyone boos. And he asks if they like watching Stone Cold embarrass Coach, and everyone cheered. And then we got a replay of that. The three choices for the Coach against Stone Cold match are a verbal debate, an arm wrestling match, or a street fight.
Wonder what's going to win.
Coach is going to the ring right now, though, to call out Stone Cold, and he does that. But Stone Cold's truck comes out with Stephanie McMahon in it. She says that Stone Cold's not here tonight. And Coach says they'll call him out next week then. And Stephanie says Coach is doing a good job in JR's place. They're happy JR had successful surgery this week. Keep that one in mind. Mick Foley comes out, says he can't listen to this anymore. He's never seen eye to eye with the McMahons, but he was really disappointed in Linda because, you know, he thought she was the sane one, and he's not going to let them destroy the business he loves. Stephanie says without them, there would be no business, and she says that Mick taught her she said Mick's being tough with her, but let's see how he is with Carlito. And then Carlito comes out and beats him up.
Listen, I know that there's some loosely incoherent things on wrestling TV nowadays. This was worse than pretty much anything I've seen in the last like 2 years. I I hate this stuff. It's making Raw so unwatchable every single week that we do this. It's hard.
Well, yeah. It also feels like they know already that Stone Cold's not going to do this.
Oh, yeah. I would agree with that entirely.
Mm-hmm. And this is just them making fun of Stone Cold.
Yeah.
Before they do the really big craptastic thing at the middle of the show. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I want to say it like gets better soon, but it doesn't really.
Raw doesn't really get better until after New Year's Revolution.
Yeah.
Because of a certain thing that happens.
Yes.
Because of a certain rated R superstar.
Yes.
Eric Bischoff says even though Foley got beat up, he still has to ref the John Cena against Kurt Angle match in the main event tonight. So
that's rude.
Yeah.
I got my ass kicked and I still have to work.
Yeah. Then we move to a Triple H against Viscera match.
Why?
Well, I guess it's a tune-up before Taboo Tuesday, but before Triple H can get to the ring, Ric Flair attacks him from behind and they kind of brawl all over, and Flair gets in the ring and begs the crowd to vote for a cage match at Taboo Tuesday.
Yeah, because, you know, we really don't care about the other options. Why not just fucking make it a cage match and then find some other way for to get them to vote? I don't know, like there's weapons inside the cage or something.
Yeah.
Well,
a Singapore cane, a sledgehammer, and what does Flair usually like to use? What, like brass knucks or something?
Yeah, that would have been fine.
Yeah.
We go out to the parking lot. JBL's limo is here. He gets out of it. And after the break, Eric Bischoff tells him to get out of here. Edge is in the ring, says that no one cares about JBL, and that's why he speared Ray last week, because people actually care about Ray. Taboo Tuesday, Edge and Chris Masters are going to team up to face two SmackDown superstars between Matt Hardy, Rey Mysterio, Christian, Hardcore Holly, and JBL.
Again, if JBL's going to be in the fucking segment, you know people aren't going to vote for JBL.
Well, that's the thing they're doing this year, is they're really pushing people in one direction for the voting. You know, which I don't think they did a good enough job with last year.
They did not.
But they've overcorrected now, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, so JBL gets Masters to come out there, and meanwhile, Ray attacks Edge and Lita from behind in the arena. So they clearly want you to vote for JBL and Ray.
Mm-hmm.
Also, they are doing, I think, an excellent job of setting up this brand warfare stuff. Keep in mind, I know that we're so like desensitized to it now because of how often they do it at Survivor Series every year, but this so far, I think, has been home run after home run with these segments. They're all really, really well done.
It was a reason to pay attention and watch, because they didn't do it so often.
Exactly.
I don't think they've done brand versus brand yet before this.
No,
because
WrestleMania, yeah, but like
they did the Interpromotion. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah,
2002, they didn't do it. Then 2003 was the Austin and Bischoff stuff. And then last year was
just regular with team in brand fighting. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Last year.
So, yeah. This is the first time that they ever did it.
Yeah.
And if I recall, they did the first SmackDown versus Raw game the year before, right?
No, I think it's this year.
Oh, 2004. Was it this year? 2004 was his first SmackDown versus Raw. This is 2006.
Yeah.
Which was really the big game.
That was the big one, yeah. Yeah. So it makes sense that they're also promoting the video game too at the same time. But yeah, this stuff was just really, really well done. And it's going to continue to be that way all the way up until Survivor Series. So we still got like two full months of this stuff. It's going to be fun.
Yeah.
Okay, so we had a women's match between Mickey James and Victoria. Mickey picked up the victory, and then afterwards, all the women brawled. They're doing a quote-unquote fulfill your fantasy battle royal at Taboo Tuesday, which is the most 2005 ass sentence that I could say about the women's division. So, that's a thing that's happening. Anyways, Vince did a skit about JR's colon surgery. Once again, this is worse than anything that I've seen on television within the last 5 years, 10 years.
Can I ask a question?
It's one of the worst things ever. What's up?
Question. How long did this segment last?
Oh, Jesus. That's the other thing. Like, it was at least like 8 or 9 minutes because
this was fucking long. For no, Vince just kept pulling things out of JR's prosthetic ass. For what?
Yeah.
Why did we need to go through 8-9 minutes of this shit? It's bad. And he knew it was bad, but he didn't care because it was, all he cared about was making fun of JR.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just not good stuff, just man.
Not good stuff. This is once again a situation where, like I was saying a few weeks ago, I believe, where I remember this period of time being really bad, but I didn't know if that was because the forum said it was bad or because it was actually really bad, but it was really bad. Mm-hmm. All this shit sucks. It's terrible. All right. So we get tag team match, Kane and Murdoch against Rosie and the Hurricane. But the thing is, the Hurricane didn't show up for this match. So they were going on, and after Rosie lost, Gregory Helms looked on from the stage. So he's not no longer the Hurricane.
I actually really liked the Gregory Helms era.
Yes, same.
Mm-hmm. Because I was a big fan of it.
Yeah, he does a lot of really fun stuff at once we get past the feud with King at the start of the year.
Oh yeah.
Once he wins the Cruiserweight Championship, we have a lot of fun with this.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so it's on to the main event. Kurt Angle versus John Cena with special referee Mick Foley. There's no ref shenanigans throughout much of the first part of the match, which made it pretty good. Then Carlito came out. Mick went to fight with him, and Carlito took him out, so now there's no ref. Of course, Eric Bischoff came out in a ref shirt, worked against Cena. Bischoff forced Cena's hand to tap and called for the bell. This is very, very 1998, 1999 Vince McMahon stuff. I get it, but at the same time, very played out.
Yeah, exactly.
Very played out, and just makes it kind of fall flat for me.
All right. Get into SmackDown here.
Yeah. We can go to SmackDown. Before that, let's see here. This was on that night, the night of the taping, the White Sox beat the Astros in 14 innings. This after it was the longest series game played by time. It was 5 hours and 41 minutes. By the number of innings, with a record time of 14. Jeff Blum hit a home run off his former teammates to, you know, help guide the White Sox to being one game away from winning the World Series.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you kind of knew after game two when they got the Scott Pesednik Grand Slam, like, yeah, this is happening.
Fucking Pesednik, man. Like, it only happens to guys who, I won't say don't deserve it, but you don't see it coming. That's why the Rajah Davis home run was like so paralyzing.
Yeah.
Because like those kind of dudes hit the big home runs. Not Albert Pujols, not Paul Konerko. I mean, Paul Konerko did, but you know, it's the Scott Pesedniks that really get you. And just get to Wednesday.
Okay, yeah. Wednesday in game four, the White Sox won 1-0 thanks to a Jermaine Dye RBI single and some strong outings from Freddie Garcia to win the World Series for the first time since 1917. It was the first 1-0 series clinching game since game six of the 95 World Series when the Braves beat the Indians. And it's the first 1-0 game of any kind in the World Series since the 96 World Series when the Yankees beat Atlanta. It's also the third year in a row where the home team did not win the deciding game of a World Series, which is kind of hilarious because of the home field advantage thing that was embedded here.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's it for baseball this year.
Yeah.
Yes, it is. Yeah. It is it for baseball.
It's going to be it for the White Sox for about 16, 17 years, too.
Yes. All right. So one more thing before we go to SmackDown. Third ranked Virginia Tech beat 13th ranked Boston College 30-10 on Thursday Night Football. And now let's move to SmackDown from the Cow Palace. Final TV taping from the Cow Palace.
Yes, exactly. We open with Peep Show and Rey Mysterio as a guest. He says if anyone thinks that he's satisfied just taking out Edge and Lita, he's not. He won't be satisfied till he's voted in the tag match at Taboo Tuesday. Edge and Masters disrespected Rey and SmackDown and every fan. Christian says Rey's only talking tough because he knows that the Raw people are in Australia right now and they can't touch him. Christian starts saying, you know, why they should vote for him instead. And then Matt Hardy does, and Hardcore Holly does, and JBL does. And Teddy Long says that all five of them can face off and we'll see who the best man is. So we get those five in a match and they'll start going after JBL. We hear that last week SmackDown was the top show on Friday nights among the coveted demo of 18 to 34 year old men.
I can't believe that actually was said, but it was.
Yeah. Yeah. So when people tell you the demos were just invented, not quite. We got a Tower of Doom, which again was rare back then.
Yes.
And then Christian
hit the,
Christian hit the Unprettier on Matt Hardy, but Rey hit Christian with a Hurricane Rana and got the win. And this is about it for Christian.
This is a fun ass match. Say that.
It was. Was that his official final match?
No, he's got one, I believe, on SmackDown next week because it's taped before Taboo Tuesday because yes. You know, they tape SmackDown on Tuesdays. So,
yeah.
Okay. Yeah, but we do have a little bit more on Christian later.
We do.
Booker and Charmel were summoned into Teddy Long's office. Teddy tells Booker that Charmel helped him win the title, and Booker finally believes it after seeing the video, says that Benoit can have a rematch, and he'll go apologize to him, and so will Charmel. Bob Orton finally getting his revenge on Roddy Piper for all the years that, you know, Bob Orton had to do all the heavy lifting for him. And Piper says that Bob Orton's only known because of him. Randy shows up and says last time he fought a legend, he ended up a pile of ashes, and that's going to happen tonight to Piper.
It's kind of morbid.
A little bit.
My God. So one of the little people ticketed Simon Dean for a segue, while two of the others tied a rope to it. Once he drove away, he fell because of the rope. Stupid humor.
That's good stuff.
Yeah, they did the juniors division match after this. Palmer Cannon sucks.
He's not good.
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, you know, we talked about it. Like, again, the plan was to bring Miz in to go against him, and I think it's good for Miz that didn't end up happening.
Extremely. Yeah, it's good that his official start is being the host of Friday Night SmackDown, which I believe happens next year.
Yes.
Okay, so Charmel told Booker not to do this, but he's not listening. They went to the ring. Booker said that he didn't realize Charmel helped him last week, but now, since he has realized it, he would like for Benoit to come out there. He did and said that Booker doesn't have to apologize, but Booker said, yeah, he does. It was wrong of him. Booker said Charmel also has something that she'd like to say, and she apologizes for putting herself on the line for Booker and helping him win instead of always losing. But most of all, she apologizes for marrying someone who has no respect for her. She slapped Booker and left, but then Charmel said that she apologizes for this, which was Booker hitting Benoit with the title belt. So they were all in on it.
Yeah. And Booker's going to be a heel now. So that's going to be interesting because we haven't seen that yet in WWE, really.
We have not. Well, he's been
2001, but.
Yeah, that's right. 01. Yeah, 01 was he was. And honestly, thinking about it, like, except for, I want to say, like, the early years of Harlem Heat, maybe in, like, 96, he hasn't been a heel for a long or sustainable time for quite a while.
No.
He did have the year as a heel when he first got there, of course, and then eventually turned face when he got to Raw.
But he was never true. Like, it never was really a right fit for him to be heel. He was heel because of his association with WCW, right? Exactly. Like, when he came in, like, for those last 3 years that he was in WCW, he was hotter than hell.
Yes.
When it came to crowd reaction, the fans, you know, like, I remember 96 Harlem Heat, and yeah. You know, you weren't supposed to like them when they were going up against the Nasty Boys and Public Enemy. But there was always a cool factor to them. So they would get some babyface cheers in between the people booing them, who were really just booing Sherry and then I forgot folks' names.
Stevie Ray. Colonel Parker. Yeah, Colonel Parker.
Yeah, I think it was the manager at the time.
Yeah.
But, people have always loved Booker. So this was the one opportunity now to, you know, hey, stop doing the spinneroonie. Stop doing, you know, all the five time. I mean, you can do five time, but be more arrogant with it. You know, this was Booker being able to finally be able to play. And as we were going to see over the next couple of years, he's very enjoyable. Wait, especially when he gets that fucking accent.
That's right.
Okay, greatest, so we greatest have... king of the ring. I'm sorry, I'm real quick. Greatest king of the ring.
As far as like owning the gimmick, yes. I think, and I think as far as King of the Rings go, it would probably be my big pantheon would probably be Brett, then probably Austin, and then probably Booker and Brock would be the big four that I would have. And then after that would probably be Kurt and Edge. And definitely, definitely Regal is in consideration for that B tier too.
Yeah, he's definitely in the B tier. I can't put him in the A tier just because, like, you guys wings clipped real quickly after he won it. And then by the time he got back, it was like, oh, no, my character.
Exactly. Okay, so we moved on to a tag team title match between LOD 2005, Mexicals, Regal and Burchill, and Eminem. The Dicks came out and knocked Heidenreich off the top rope, and Eminem hit the snapshot to win the tag titles and rescue us from this title ring. That's been the worst part of SmackDown, really, for the past few. The Dicks, yes. These two, like, short, stocky dudes.
Oh, no, I know who the Dicks were. I was just calling them Dicks.
Yeah.
Because that was a dick move.
You know, I guess it's kind of cool, like, Eminem technically beat the Legion of Doom in the Cow Palace.
Yeah, that is pretty cool.
You know, if you want to get loose with the definition.
LOD beat the Legion of Doom in the Cow Palace?
No, Eminem beat
beat the Legion. Eminem beat LOD in the Cow Palace. So what's the significance there other than, like, letters?
I mean, it was a big deal for the Road Warriors, you know, back in the 80s. It was a big venue for them.
Oh, okay.
The same Legion of Doom, obviously, but, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, clearly. I didn't know Cow Palace because I think Road Warriors more than I think of WWE era Legend of Doom. Yeah. So you don't think like, you know, Southern Territory going out to San Francisco. But okay, that's interesting.
All right, let's see. What do we got here? Yeah, so Nunzio and Vito want a shot at the tag titles next week, but Teddy Long says they can't even beat Bob Lashley. But next week, they can both team up to face him. And if they win, then they can have a tag title shot.
I'm going to be real. Nunzio, Vito, you guys, your arms are not strong enough, not big enough to box with God.
Boogeyman cuts a promo. A lot of lore, a lot of backstory, all that good stuff. Eddie Batista talking about the Cow Palace. Eddie has lots of good memories there. It's where he won the title from Brock at No Way Out. And Batista got Eddie a lowrider to bring to the ring tonight. And Latino Heat is back.
Yeah, baby.
And in hindsight, this is a really cool and special moment here.
Yeah, made me a little emotional.
Yeah.
Yeah, we obviously we didn't know it at the time, but we did get one last run with Latino Heat. And you know, you're thankful for that. You're thankful that you got with that last little run. He's great as a heel, but nothing ever beat Eddie when you're able to love him and when he's able to do the things that make you endearing to him. And honestly, like, I really enjoyed everything that he did with Batista. I think him and Batista were really good running partners. Both of them kind of, I don't want to say necessarily cut from the same cloth, but okay, you know, Batista had a hard upbringing. Eddie had to really fight and scratch and claw despite his namesake because, like, you know, his family instilled that in him. So I think the two of them, you know, and you can tell it when they got together in the ring, whether they were going against each other or whether they were tag team, like, they just had this chemistry and they were really good together, man. And you know, it really sucked that we didn't get to see this play out a little bit longer. They did win the tag titles for a short bit, right? Or was that just Batista and Ray?
Yeah,
that was Batista and Ray.
Yeah. So you know, they definitely would have won the tag titles together. You know, had everything not happen, but you know, I really enjoyed the dynamic between the two of them.
Yeah,
same.
But yeah, Eddie comes out with the lowrider and his old music, and you know, we get into the match with Mr. Kennedy and the Ortons against Batista and Eddie and Roddy Piper. Piper doesn't look very good. And he's in for a lot of the match, but eventually they just all start brawling and do the house show finish, and Piper gets a sleeper hold on Bob Orton for the win.
And this is around that time where, like, Piper unfortunately came back because he had money issues, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because he'll be around, you know, periodically for a while, and then he's going to get sick next year, I think. He had cancer, right, for a little bit?
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah. And then he'll come back again. Yeah. It's sad. Yeah. That's really one of the sad stories in wrestling that I think that biography kind of shines some light on, because Piper never really got to enjoy what he should have.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly.
He didn't. And it's a story of a lot of, you know, I was watching, you know, Game Day Morning NFL Network prior, and you had Michael Irvin, Kurt Warner, and Nate Burleson, and they were talking about mental health. And, you know, we've seen a couple guys, Lane Johnson of the Eagles, Calvin Ridley with the Falcons, or sorry, Riley Ridley, right? Calvin Ridley with the Falcons. We've seen them take time off to deal with their mental health. And, you know, the normalization of it now, 10 years ago, it's unforeseen, you know, you'd be questioned for your mental toughness. Now, you know, you see organizations, you see teams, franchises that, you know, are trying to do better in that regard when it comes to, you know, your mental health. And from a wrestling standpoint, when you look at a lot of older folks, like, you know, folks joke about how this generation of wrestlers, they don't do drugs, they play video games. Well, that's a really strong positive of how we're moving forward from how wrestlers used to treat their bodies, how they used to take care of themselves and unwind and clear their minds, to what we're starting to do now. And, you know, you wish that people like Roddy had that opportunity, or that knew that that was a possibility, that you didn't have to go home and be so sad and feel so empty when everything's done. There is life after wrestling, or there is life outside of the ring. So I think that's one thing that I'm very glad and very fortunate that wrestlers are adopting today. And, you know, it really sucked that someone like Roddy didn't get to appreciate that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so that was it for SmackDown.
Indeed.
It was a quick episode.
It was a quick episode, yeah. All right, quick wraparound here with what happened in college football that weekend. USC and Texas won, of course. 16th ranked Florida.
Of course, they went undefeated.
Yes. 16th ranked Florida beat 4th ranked Georgia, 16-10. Chris Leak.
Shout out Chris Leak.
Led the Gators over DJ Shockley.
Actually, can I be honest with you? I thought Chris Leak was going to win the Heisman the year after.
Honestly, I did think that too.
That was Troy Smith, right?
Yeah, it was Troy Smith. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, it was one off, you know. People forget that Chris Leak was the starter that year because everyone's been just on fucking Tim Tebow. But no, Tebow was like Taysom Hill, basically. Chris Leak was the guy that led that squad.
He was. Yeah. He was.
Not the most important thing that's going to happen in the University of Florida in the year 2005, 2006, though.
That is correct. I'm sorry. DJ Shockley did not play for the Dogs that day. He was injured. So this was their first loss of the year for Georgia. Let's see. UCLA beat Stanford 30-27 in OT. They were down 24 in the fourth quarter, only to win in overtime. It's their third comeback win in the last four games. So UCLA is living on the edge, so to speak, here.
Living on the edge.
12th ranked Ohio State beat Minnesota at the Metrodome. Ted Ginn Jr. ran back and kicked for a touchdown, and Antonio Pittman got two rushing touchdowns.
I don't know how we're going to tell our kids about Ted Ginn one day. That was special in college.
Likewise. And then, let's see, South Carolina upset 23rd ranked Tennessee. They snapped a 12-game losing streak at Neyland Stadium. Josh Brown kicked the field goal with 2:45 left in the game, and the Vols dropped to 3-4. So things are not going well in Knoxville right now. Also, Paul DePodesta was fired as the GM of the Dodgers on that day. Let's see what happened in this NFL Sunday. See if I can find anything notable. The Bears.
Let me think. Okay. Lions.
Yes.
Bam.
Yeah. Charles Tillman picked off Jeff Garcia, ran it back 22 yards for the winning score. God,
what a bomb.
News I'm sure you'll appreciate hearing. Brett Favre threw 5 picks. Packers lost to the Bengals 21-14. The Packers fell to 1-6.
Does anybody have a hand towel?
Let's see. The Broncos beat the Eagles 49-21. Jake Plummer apparently threw 3 touchdown passes before Donovan McNabb could complete his first pass in the game. My God.
Jake Plummer got a bad rap, I'm going to be honest with you.
He did. He did.
Replace that man with Jay Cutler. Gross.
And last but not least, Steve Smith had 201 receiving yards in a 38-13 victory for the Panthers over the Vikings.
Yep. PTSD with Steve Smith is coming. Sorry, go ahead.
This was the day that Dante Culpepper had a knee injury that kept him out for the season and will spin off quite the pendulum here in the NFL.
Yeah, yeah, affecting 4 cities, really.
Yeah.
Maybe more. Yeah, I was going to say the Steve Smith PTSD is about 2 months down the line. But, what did y'all see what he said about Baker?
Oh my God.
I'm so happy if Steve Smith decided to go into television.
Yeah. No, he's
we need more Steve Smith and less Kendrick Perkins.
Yes.
That's fair.
Agree. Okay. So let's wrap around here. The top 5 songs in America changed a little bit. Soul Survivor by Young Jeezy and Akon jumped from 7th to 5th. Photograph dropped to 4. My Humps popped up to 3. And Gold Digger and Run It are still 1 and 2. Top 5 movies in America. The Weatherman debuted at 5, making $5.7 million.
Is that Nicolas Dreamer, Cage?
Yes.
I believe so, yes.
Okay, I remember that.
Dreamer dropped from 2 to 4, making $7.7 million. That also was the only movie from last week's top 5 to stay in this week's top 5. 3 was Prime, which made $8.1 million. And then we had 2 movies make over $20 million. The Legend of Zorro was 2, which made $20.287 million. And then at 1, making $43 million, was Saw 2.
I got onto the Saws late. But Saw 2 was the first Saw that I watched. And I was like, Flea Flicker by Joe Burrow. Saw 2 was incredible. Wonderful horror movie. And I'm not a guy that cares much about horror films. They don't really do it for me. The Saw franchise, the entire Saw franchise is just thrilling.
Yes. Completely agree.
Yeah. And then our only real WWE news this week, and we talked about it a little bit, Christian let his contract run out and he's done with WWE for now. It's not known right now if he's going to go to TNA, which he is. When it happened, I wasn't high on Christian. Christian's a guy it took me a while to appreciate, but like he's good here, but his TNA run and then coming back from that to, right now is, that run was very big for him because it really showed what he could be.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. Christian isn't looked at as one of the best of his generation without that run in TNA, because it allowed him to shed the constraints of WWE and be looked at, just as the package. And it's TNA, it's not on the same level, but when you're allowed to be the guy to lead the ship and from 2005 through 2008, he led that ship. Him, Angle, Joe, Styles.
Yep.
I guess you could throw in Sting, were the 5, main guys in TNA throughout that time period. So Yeah, you know, this as we talked about with the cuts early today, Christian's one of the guys that, you know, he was going to be fine whether he was in WWE regardless, because he had that kind of factor.
Yeah. And then our Monday Night Football game, the Pittsburgh Steelers defeated the Baltimore Ravens 20-19. Looks like the Ravens had four field goals from Matt Stover and Chester Taylor touchdown. A lot of field goals from the Steelers, it looks like, too. Not a great game.
Jeff Reed hit one with 1:37 left.
Yeah.
And this is for the record.
Ben Roethlisberger versus
Anthony Wright.
God, what?
Yep.
Anthony Wright.
Oh, God. You say that as I want to say Lamar just threw a pick or something like. No, he didn't. Yeah, that's nasty. That's fucking nasty. Also, same Anthony Wright that used to play for the Cowboys, right?
Yep.
Yes. Yuck. Yes. That was also only the fifth Halloween game in the history of Monday Night Football at that point in time.
Well, that makes sense. I mean,
it does.
Yeah.
It does.
Yeah, we can get into Raw from Anaheim, the Arrowhead Pond, site of WrestleMania 2000, etc. Eric Bischoff comes out to open the show with Chris Masters. Tomorrow night, Raw is going to prove its dominance over SmackDown yet again. But tonight, Chris Masters has a Master Lock Challenge for SmackDown Superstar, and it's Rey Mysterio. Ray comes out with Teddy Long and hits Masters with the microphone before the Master Lock Challenge starts. Then they brawl, and Eric Bischoff calls out the Raw reinforcements, but Teddy Long calls out the SmackDown reinforcements, and then they all brawl in the ring. So, yeah, doing a really good job building the Survivor Series to the point where Money in the or Taboo Tuesday has become just, you know, vote for the most obvious choice, which,
yeah,
you know, it's fair. Bischoff is mad at Masters and Edge for embarrassing Raw. We get into Kurt Angle against Tajiri. We get Kurt countering the tarantula into the ankle lock, and then Tajiri taps out. Mm-hmm. After the match, Kurt says he's going to do that to John Cena tomorrow, and Cena comes out, and then they brawl.
You know, there was nothing wrong with this segment at all whatsoever. I thought it was actually pretty good. I like the fact that, you know, Angle beat Tajiri to kind of send a message to Cena. It's good booking. Tajiri's in a spot where he's a pretty reliable worker some, you know, reputation. So, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So we move on, and Ric Flair begs the fans for a cage match again, which, I mean, you're going to get it. Don't worry, man. Rob Conway's in action against Eugene. Match kind of ends when Rob Conway hits him with a chair. Then Jimmy Snuka and Jim Duggan and Kamala come out to save Eugene. And even Jerry Lawler comes out and hits top rope punch on him, on Rob Conway.
Yeah, those are definitely things that are happening.
Mm-hmm. Jesus
Christ, once again. God. Okay, so Todd Grisham is dressed as Harry Perry. Went to interview Gregory Helms, but Helms blew him off. Then Mick Foley came out of the truck and said that he has a surprise for Carlito. When we come back to the ring, Carlito's in the ring. It says tomorrow night at Taboo Tuesday. He doesn't know which face of Foley he's going to have to square off with, but he knows when it's all said and done, he'll beat him. The only face anyone needs to be concerned with is the face of Carlito. And then Dude Love appeared on the Titantron. And then all three faces of Foley made their pitches to be the pick for Taboo Tuesday. I thought this was, you know, creative and, you know, a nice little callback to the famous segment where all three faces of Foley showed up at the Garden. So I didn't mind this.
Yeah. No, it was pretty cool. I liked it.
Something I didn't like was this next segment. Well, actually, I guess it started off bad, but got weird at the end.
Yeah.
Let's try and get through this here. Okay, so Coach went to the ring and said that he's not leaving until Stone Cold comes out. Said he has someone in his corner tomorrow that Stone Cold might remember, and it's Goldust. And Coach Goldust,
I would Stone Cold Dust remember in... Goldust.
I guess they probably had a match at some point. I don't know. Did Goldust ever have like a title feud with Austin though? Like, or is it just you'll remember him because you were both around each other for a long time?
Well, it might be that. I don't. Did he and when he was Dustin, did he have a feud going with Austin at that time?
Like in WCW?
Yeah.
I mean, they had a match. Maybe. At, Halloween Havoc 1991 and 1993, and I guess Starrcade 1993.
Yeah.
So
yeah, okay, that makes sense.
There you go.
Yeah.
Well, he knows Dustin, not Goldust.
Yeah.
Because according to Vince, not the same dude.
Yeah. So Goldust is back, first time since I want to say last year.
19. Oh, well, that's right. I forgot about that.
Or was he there in 2003?
2002. Well, yeah, 2002, 2003.
Well, he was definitely there in 03.
No, because 2002 he came back the first time, and then
he stayed around with Booker. He lingered,
yeah. I think it was like middle of 2003 that he left. So he's back.
It was middle of 2003. They told him his contract wouldn't expire in December of 03.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Back for a couple years.
First time in nearly 2 years.
Yes. Yeah. So, but Vince comes out. Tells Coach that Stone Cold was in an accident over the weekend, so he will not be wrestling at Taboo Tuesday. As a result, Coach wins by forfeit. But Vince promised everyone Coach would be in action at Taboo Tuesday, so since he's the number one announcer on Raw, it makes sense for him to face the number one announcer on SmackDown, which is Funaki. Funaki comes out, and Goldust and Coach beat him up and get him out of the ring. Coach said if anyone else on SmackDown wants to face him, he'll be glad to do it and beat them up too. And that brings Batista out. Batista beats up Goldust and Coach, and then Vader comes out to even the odds and take out Batista.
Where do they get Vader from? Because like this has been like 7 years since he's been around.
Yeah, it has. He just randomly shows up, man.
I remember a lot of things. I remember a lot of unique things. I do not remember Vader showing up on Raw in 2005. This kind of blew my mind.
Then we move on. We get our Triple H versus Viscera match that we were promised but did not get last week. And Triple H wins about 30 seconds.
Yeah.
Says he's done a lot of bad things in his life and he takes responsibility for them, but he won't be held responsible for what he does to Ric Flair at Taboo Tuesday.
Is that how it works?
I guess so, yeah. If you say it beforehand, then yeah.
Fair enough.
Todd Grisham. Todd Grisham interviews John Cena as Harry Carey again. The Heartthrobs.
Will Ferrell as Harry Carey?
Well, yeah. I mean, that's everyone's Harry Carey impression is just doing Will Ferrell.
Yeah.
The Heartthrobs are in action against Kane and Big Show because if Kane and Big Show don't win the vote to be in the triple threat match, they're going to have a tag title match. So they're getting some reps in as a tag team in case.
Yes.
The Heartthrobs are dressed as Batman and Batman. And Kane and Big Show win with a double choke slam.
So, like, what was the thought of both being Batman?
I guess because neither wanted to be Robin. I don't know. It's not like very well fleshed out.
Yeah,
not even different eras. So.
Exactly. Yeah.
Whatever. Heartthrobs are gonna be gone, so who cares?
Yeah. And then it's time for a main event: John Cena against Shawn Michaels. Match gets thrown out when Angle
keeps on giving.
Yes. Kurt Angle comes out and attacks both of them, and the match kind of gets thrown out. And then Cena gets Angle up for the FU, but Michaels hits sweet chin music on both of them and looks at the title to end the show.
A nice little visual.
And that was Raw.
It was. So now let's go to Taboo Tuesday, first day of November in 2005, down in San Diego, California. Is this at San Diego Sports Arena?
Yes.
That's what I thought. I think that's now Pechanga, if I recall correctly.
Yes.
They had hosted SmackDown after WrestleMania this year, and that was the final appearance of the old WWE Championship.
Yeah, that's correct.
Indeed. So we've got Jerry Lawler on commentary for this, and joining him for the first time is Joey Styles.
Yeah, so
Joey Styles is here, and this is going to be sort of a long-term thing for him, at least within the company. Not so much.
He signed a five-year deal when he started. So the whole thought process was he was going to be heir apparent.
Ross, and the .com guy too.
Yeah, and the .com guy, and I don't know.
Yeah, his run there is weird.
Very.
But we'll get into that. So we open with Edge and Chris Masters against Rey Mysterio and Matt Hardy, are the two that won the vote on the SmackDown side. Lita says that Edge isn't going to be wrestling tonight because he doesn't actually care about either of these guys or Raw, so Snitsky's going to take his place. Ref from Raw to ref from SmackDown, which is just doing too much. I think Matt and Ray did a good job, though. You know,
yeah, I think so, too.
Considering the two guys they were working. You know, and Ray and Matt Hardy get the win after 619 Twist of Fate. So, yeah, that's fair.
There was no Christian chant that went up during this match. Unfortunately for them, that doesn't really go so well.
Yeah, not quite.
So, next, unfortunately, we have Rob Conway and Tyson Tomko versus Eugene and a legend of the People's Choice. Unfortunately, that legend is Jim Snuka, and they won with the Superfly Splash. And the legends came out to beat the heels up after.
What were the other two options again?
Kamala and Jim Duggan.
Yeah, Kamala and Jim Duggan.
What the fuck? Do you guys not love America? What the fuck is the problem? Okay? But we are patriots here.
We'll see plenty of him next year.
We will. That's correct.
I saw he was in the hospital a couple weeks ago. I don't know how he's doing, but I hope Jim Duggan's doing well. He was very nice when I met him a couple years ago, right? I met him like a month before the pandemic.
Oh, man.
Crazy. He's like one of the last like interactions I had. But like, you know, very, very nice dude. I really hope that he is doing well.
Yeah, for sure. Move on to Carlito, and it's going to be Carlito against Mankind, which... I don't know how you don't vote.
Jack not win this.
Yeah, exactly.
What?
I mean, it was cool to see Mankind. You know, didn't really get like the proper build that they've been doing for Foley matches the past.
No, definitely
years.
Not.
But you know, Mankind charges against Carlito with the chair, and Carlito pushes him and the chair into the steps, and then Mick just ends up getting the win with Mr. Sacco and had an afro like Carlito. Vince shows up midway through the show and says he's looking forward to the Raw against SmackDown match, and Bischoff says it already happened and Raw lost, and Vince calls him a loser. Shawn Michaels won the vote to be in the triple threat, so Kane and Big Show are going to challenge for the tag titles against Cade and Murdoch, and Kane and Big Show win the tag titles.
They do. They held these belts for a while.
Yeah, they end up being a pretty fun team.
They are, yeah.
So, it's fine. I mean... Cade Murdoch, I think will go their separate ways. They don't really stick around too much longer.
No, they're a tag team for a while.
Okay.
They're a team for a while here, as I recall. And so the women will have a lingerie battle royal later, of course.
Yep.
As we went over. And then we get Batista versus Coach with Goldust and Vader in a street fight, which won the poll, shockingly. And Batista obviously won. So is JR getting his job back? Who knows?
Yeah, we'll have to see.
You had a nugget that you wanted to share about Taboo Tuesday.
Yes, Coach did an interview with the ad-free shows, I think, last month. And he said, I'll start by saying this. I love Stone Cold. The past couple of years, we've connected a couple times. I have a lot of respect for him, but it wasn't one of his best moments. He felt like it was below him to step in the ring with me, even though the storyline was pretty good and I was a heel that was getting quite a bit of heat in the arenas. It wouldn't have been much more than me just taking a couple stunners and wearing a dress, but he didn't even show up. He felt like it was below him. I'm not even bitter, but it would have been nice to get the check, because if you wrestled Stone Cold, you got paid more.
When exactly did he say this?
Coach said this last month, because that was when he did a thing with ad-free shows.
Last month, as in 2021?
Yes.
Oh, okay. So he still obviously harbors some resentment towards Austin not being there for the show. Now, does Coach still do anything active with the WWE?
I don't think so. I think at this point he's completely done.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, obviously, I understand his feelings, like, you know, Austin, Hogan, Rock, there's no bigger payday than those three guys right there. And, you know, the whole circumstance, I mean, Austin's always been a dude that if it doesn't benefit him, he's not going to do it.
Yeah.
But not really caring about what it means for other people and the payday that could mean for other people. And so, like, yeah, if, you know, if I'm coach, I'm still peeved off by that. Obviously, like, he's done fine for himself, but
yeah. And I mean, I think Austin has a point and coach has a point here.
Right. They both can be right in their own feelings. I don't think there's ever a need for them to fucking hash shit out. So
yeah,
that was a good little find.
Shawn Michaels with Todd Grisham says for the second year in a row, he's going to go show why he's a showstopper, steal the show at Taboo Tuesday. Kurt Angle comes up to him, says they don't like each other, but they should work together to take out Cena, and then they can just have a match between the two of them. And you can tell Shawn's actually considering it.
Interesting. So we got the Divas Battle Royal, and Mickey helped Trish win and retain the title. Now we move on to our steel cage match for the Intercontinental title between Triple H and Ric Flair. I wonder who's going to bleed in this match. Probably both of them. They start off, have a slow plodding brawl. Triple H threw Flair off the cage or into the cage and whatnot, and he's bleeding already. Triple H went to hit Flair with a chair, but he kicked it into Triple H. So now they're both bleeding as expected. Flair went to crawl out the door. Triple H grabbed him by the leg. Flair grabbed a chair from the floor to bring it in. Triple H went for a pedigree. Flair backdropped him onto the chair and picked up the chair and hit Triple H with it and crawled out the door. So, you know, good, decent stuff here. It's pretty much the expected result because I don't think Triple H at this point in time would have been a good fit to be Intercontinental Champ. It was nice to at least have it, the guys over the fact that, you know, he could have.
Now they go through Survivor Series, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, because they go through Survivor Series and then Triple H gets into a feud with Big Show while Ric Flair feuds with Edge.
Right, and then it's like Triple H, Big Show heading into the Rumble is kind of like that whole thing.
Yep. And then we move to our main event, Kurt Angle versus John Cena versus Shawn Michaels for the WWE title. Mostly Shawn versus Kurt early on. They put Cena through the announce table to put him out of commission, so the seeds were planted earlier, and they decided to run with that. Cena got back in the mix later, went for the FU, but Kurt pulled him into the ankle lock. However, Michaels broke it up with the elbow drop. Kurt got up, got hit with Sweet Chin Music, but Cena got up and hit the FU on Shawn for the win, so Cena retains the title.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
Yeah, I enjoyed this match. I definitely enjoyed it, and it, you know, it pretty much did everything that you pretty much could have hoped it would do.
Yep. All right, move on to SmackDown.
Yes. First, let's see here if there was anything worth noting before SmackDown in terms of sports news. Let's see. It's NBA Premier Week. So 4 games happened on November 1st, the night of Taboo Tuesday. The Bucks beat the Sixers 117-108 in OT. The OKC Hornets defeated the Kings 91-67. And in double OT, the Mavericks beat the Suns 111-108.
What about the defending champs?
And let's see. So those would be the Spurs, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay, let's see. The Spurs beat the Nuggets 102-91.
Okay. Spurs versus Carmelo. I could see it.
Yep.
I was hoping Spurs Lakers, but
yeah, the Lakers. Let's see. The Lakers played the Nuggets 99-97 the following day.
Okay.
In a random Wednesday night football game, West Virginia beat UConn 45-13. That's some good old fashioned
Big East football, baby.
That's fantastic. Let's
ugly.
I was gonna say, I wonder. Yeah, that would be very ugly. In terms of who scored, Rich Rod. Okay, Rich Rod was still coach there. I believe West Virginia goes to the Sugar Bowl to play Georgia.
Rich Rod anywhere right now?
He is. I think he's a coordinator somewhere. Actually, I want to say. And I want to say he's a coordinator somewhere down south, but I'm not totally sure.
Louisiana Monroe.
There we go.
Oof, you're a coordinator at a Louisiana Monroe. What's the point?
Wait, by the way, in that West Virginia UConn game, we had touchdowns from Steve Slayton, yes, Owen Schmidt, Pat White, and also I see a field goal from SmackDown announcer Pat McAfee.
Man, all we're missing is Noel Devine. And that would have been my NCAA football from back in the day.
Yep. Devine is, I believe, a couple years away. This team had Darius Raynaud, though.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no, West Virginia 2007.
Yes.
Is one of like the coldest, at least video game teams. Because you had Pat White still at quarterback, Steve Slayton, as you said, and then Noel Devine comes in a couple years later and like, oh God, they were speed personified. I love that team.
Yes. Also on Thursday, I'm just remembering now that Matt Lawton was on the Yankees because he tested positive for Boldenon?
Minnesota Twins Matt Lawton?
Yes.
Wow.
He apparently joined the Yankees, but he got suspended for the first 10 games of the 06 season after violating MLB's drug policy.
Now, what was it again?
It was Boldenon. I believe that's how you pronounce it. I could be wrong. It's an anabolic steroid.
Oh, okay.
Michael Bush ran for 113 yards and two scores to lead Louisville to a 42-20 win over Pitt. Oh, and Elvis Dumervil set an NCAA record by forcing his ninth fumble of the season.
Good Where did Lord. He go to school? Where did he go to school at?
He went to school at Louisville.
Okay.
And okay, we can definitely move on to SmackDown here. Also, Shaq apparently sprained his ankle against the Heat as they lost 105-102 and will be out for 2 to 4 weeks. I think the Heat will be all right.
Honestly, he could be out for 2 to 4 months, and it's not going to affect Miami.
No, not at all. They're going to be all right. All right. SmackDown from LA. We start off outside Staples Center. Eminem can arrive Hollywood style after winning the tag titles last week. Walk the red carpet. Then Teddy Long is there to tell them that they can put their titles on the line tonight against Batista and Eddie Guerrero. So that'll be fun. And to start things off, we have a tag team match between JBL and Christian against Matt Hardy and Rey Mysterio with special guest referee Hardcore Holly. This was pretty fun.
Yeah, it wasn't bad. Matt and Hardy knocked down Hardcore Holly, so they kind of have a feud going now.
So question, did they tape this SmackDown the same day that they did Taboo Tuesday?
No, it was Sunday.
It was Sunday that they did this.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, so I guess they just put these four in and assume Hardcore Holly wouldn't win the fan vote, which fair.
Yeah. Fair, very fair.
I like this. They move some of the stories along, and then, Ray hit the 619 and Hardy hit the Twist of Fate again and pinned Christian. So Christian took the loss on his way out.
Yep. And then we got an interview between Josh Matthews and Teddy Long. Teddy Long was in the parking lot and said he was waiting for the arrival of Raw GM Eric Bischoff.
Yeah. Booker and Charmel came out and they bragged about fooling everyone last week and, showed the video clips. And Teddy Long says that Booker's going to defend the title against Benoit next. And that happens and Booker gets himself counted out to retain the title like a coward.
Yes. And then we do a match between Cowboy Bob Orton and Rowdy Roddy Piper, unfortunately. So Orton, before the match, said he did all the dirty work for years while Piper got all the glory. And Piper had the sleeper on Bob Orton when Randy Orton came out and attacked Piper from behind. Bob Orton held the referee back while Orton pretty much destroyed Piper's back. And then hit an RKO on Piper to end the segment. So,
yeah.
I'm trying to think of the equivalent of Piper and Orton now. So 20 years before 2005, they did WrestleMania 85. So let's go back to 2001. It'd be like the equivalent of Stone Cold going up against who?
Ooh.
Well, Well, yeah, I mean, I guess it could be like Edge against someone too. Like if they did like Edge against Big Show, that would kind of.
Edge was clearly like a younger dude. Yeah. Whereas like okay, you could say that Piper was like mid to late 30s, or Bob Orton was mid to late 30s in 1985. Yeah. That's why I chose Austin, because I'm like, okay, we're guaranteed that Austin's like 36, 37.
Yeah.
If Taker. And guarantee, I would rather watch that match right now, given the limitations that both of them had, than Bob Orton and Roddy Piper. God, that's terrible.
Yeah. So Nunzio and Vito are going to get a tag title shot if they beat Bobby Lashley, but they cannot do that.
And they cannot. So Eric Bischoff arrives in the parking lot. So he wanted to get this over with as quickly as possible. He ran into the boogeyman, and that kind of frightened Bischoff. The boogeyman did that is.
Yep. And then Bischoff ends up in the ring, says the Raw and SmackDown thing's gotten out of control. Enough is enough. So at Survivor Series, why don't they do five Raw guys against five SmackDown guys? Bischoff called SmackDown the B show with second-rate talent. And Teddy Long accepted the challenge. So just like the Monday Night Wars, Bischoff's going to lose. And then also challenged Bischoff to a one-on-one match at Survivor Series.
Mm.
That's not a good idea.
That's not a good idea at all.
And then Eric Bischoff accepted, and Teddy Long had him thrown out of the building.
Indeed. So, we move forward here. Mr. Kennedy faced off with Scotty Quijada, and Kennedy got a cut on his forehead during this match, but still won after hitting the Green Bay Plunge on Scotty Quijada.
Yes. So
they're continuing to get Kennedy right here.
Then it's time for our main event, where Eminem put the tag titles on the line against Batista and Eddie Guerrero. My God. Eddie brought a chair in, and the ref took the chair. And then he was going for a frog splash, and Molina gave Mercury some brass knuckles. And then Eddie jumped and got taken out with the brass knuckles, and Mercury got the pin to retain the titles. So there we go. That was SmackDown.
There we go.
Oh God, what options do we have?
Eminem.
Yeah, they got the titles back, or Kane and
Big Show got the titles back, and then. Well, they got the titles back, and then they retained the titles too.
That's true. Yeah,
I'm giving it to Eminem. They're one of the only people who went 2-0 here.
That makes a lot of sense for me. We'll give it to Eminem. We'll be back next week. I think we got one more week before everything with Eddie, so we got some time.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Listen to everything on the Barber's Chair. I'm at Cameron Santo. Rob's at RobinO31. Chris at Chris M. Novak. Have a wonderful rest of your week. We're going to go watch some football. Thank you guys for joining us on another episode of Ruthless Aggression. We will see you later.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're crushing morning miles or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.